I tell you, I do. I honestly love this place. If God didn't want me at Gulf Coast Baptist Church, I'd join this place and just sit this, find me a place to serve God and reach as many people as I could. You know, there are not many churches like this. I mean, honest to goodness, you invite somebody to this place, they're going to have God speak to them. I mean, the music, the singing, the congregational singing, you just don't find that in places. And the choir, God bless you, choir, thank you so much. And I know what a job it is to get everybody on the same page, and I appreciate it. This is a flagship ministry. And I want you to know, people wonder if it can be done today. All they have to do is come to this great work and see, yes, it can. And thank the Lord for Pastor Steve continuing the great work. And I'm looking forward. People are excited about Landmark Baptist Church. And I want you to know, outside of this place, there's as much excitement about what God is doing here as there's ever been, and confidence in this great work. And I'm so glad I get to come tonight and be a part of it. I would have brought my wife with me, but our last remaining granddaughter at home, my brother hired my daughter and son-in-law and moved them to Tennessee. Can you imagine doing that to me? And my little grandson, he's up there getting a southern accent, and I don't mind that. And my two granddaughters, of course. And then I have a grandson who's in Bible college. I don't look that old, but I married when I was in the fifth grade. My wife and I did. And he's preparing to serve the Lord. One of my granddaughters is going to be a missionary to Scotland. I'm excited what God's doing in my life. And the Lord's just been good. Amen. I want you to pray for the work in Africa. A couple of years ago, we started a Fellowship of African Independent Baptists. And we got together with some of the men, and we thank God for that. And this year we've had a meeting. We've gone over 700 members of the Fellowship of African Independent Baptists. Over 700. Can you imagine? I mean, it was a powerful meeting. I was there 3 weeks. We had 2,570 people saved. I never seen this thing in my life. And God just moving in that part of the world. And some of the people you've trained right here at Landmark Baptist College are there serving the Lord. And thank God for that. And you're going to be clipping coupons for eternity. Now, I want to ask you to do something. I want you to pray about helping a pastor in southern Sudan. He can go online. He can get everything you offer here. His name is Julius Magoo. He got saved in one of the refugee camps. He got trained. He started a church 10 years ago in one of the cities in southern Sudan. They've just had their government for a year now. And they're doing a great work. He's trained 14 pastors. He wants a Bible college. He wants to get hooked up and get connected to something. It's something you could do here and help him. They just had a meeting. Some of the brothers went over there from the African pastors, and they had 919 people saved in southern Sudan. Now, that's in Muslim country. I'll tell you something. You know, God is on the throne. Did you know that? You know, we may think that something's gone wrong around here, but nothing's gone wrong with God's plan. He still has his plan. I thought we were getting the kingdom, but apparently we're not getting it just yet. But it will come. The best one when he comes down from heaven. I'm looking forward to it. Now, if you have your Bible, I want you to turn with me to the Gospel according to John chapter number 11. John chapter 11. What a great chapter. I tell you what, I love this chapter. There's so much truth in this chapter that'll just stir your heart. And we're going to read a few verses in John chapter 11. And I want to challenge you to read the whole chapter down, at least down to verse number 46 later on, and take some time and read. Learn how to meditate on the Word of God. Our goal this year at Gulf Coast Baptist Church is to get every family meditating on God's Word. And we're trying to get it going. But take you some great verses and take your family and meditate on God's Word and see what the Lord can do in your life. But there are some great verses in John chapter 11. Now, John chapter 11, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and his sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Father, dear Lord, I thank you again for your goodness. And Lord, thank you for the privilege of standing in this great pulpit. And I pray that you might help me tonight, that you might anoint me fresh and new with your spirit. And dear Lord, that you would help me to say the things that be pleasing to thee. And Lord, I pray that you would do tonight what I cannot do. And that, dear Lord, is speak to the hearts of people. And may we hear that still small voice that speaks to us. And dear Lord, when we leave this meeting tonight, may we be determined to please you with our lives. And we'll thank and praise you, for we ask it in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. I want to speak tonight on this subject. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Amen. Say that with me, would you? It's going to be okay. Say it again. It's going to be okay. I want you to know it's going to be okay. Yes. It's going to be okay. Have you ever had something just disappoint you? I mean, really disappoint you. I think anybody that believes the word of God and believes that the condition of our nation could say, amen, we've had some disappointments. But have you ever had anything personally in your life that disappointed you? Some things you can't quite understand. Have you ever found yourself saying to God, what in the world is going on? Has that ever happened to you? Well, I want you to know something. It's going to be okay. Yes. Mary and Martha have a brother named Lazarus. Lazarus is very sick. And Lazarus is so sick that they sent for the Lord Jesus. Now, the Bible says that Jesus loved Martha, and he loved Mary, and he loved Lazarus. As a matter of fact, their home was a place that the Lord Jesus often visited. It was one of the places that you could find Christ when he was in Bethany. So when Lazarus got sick, they had no question about it. We're going to send for Jesus. By the way, when you have a need, there's only one person to send for. That's Jesus. And so they sent for the Lord Jesus. And the Bible says, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, the Word of God says, he said, this sickness is not unto death. It's going to be okay. And then the Word of God says that he abode there still 2 days. Can you imagine when the ones went back and they told Mary and Martha, and they said, what did Jesus say? He said, it's going to be okay. Is he coming? No, he just said, it's going to be okay. Well, on their side of the fence, it wasn't okay. As a matter of fact, it couldn't get any worse. Lazarus got sick, so sick that Lazarus died. Now, you don't get any sicker than that. He's dead. He's buried. Now the Lord Jesus says to the disciples, come, let us go into Judea. We're going to go to see Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And Jesus tells them that Lazarus is asleep. And then he has to tell them plainly. He said plainly in verse number 14. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Wait a minute. Didn't you say it's going to be okay? And Lazarus is dead. Now look what else Jesus said. This verse is one of those shocking verses. As a matter of fact, when I first realized what Jesus said, it shocked me. Can you imagine Jesus saying this? And I am glad for your sake that I was not there. Can you imagine in the middle of all of your heartache, in the middle of all of your trouble, in the middle of death, Jesus saying, I'm glad I wasn't there. Well, hold on a second. What in the world is going on? Have you ever wondered and said, Dear Lord, what in the world is going on in my life? God's got a purpose and God's got a plan. And the Lord Jesus said, This sickness is not unto death, but it is for the glory of God. And we're going to talk about that in a few moments, what the glory of God is. But I want you to mark some things, and I hope you're in the habit of taking notes, because I want you to write down some things tonight. Whether you need it or not, there'll be someone you meet that needs help from this portion of Scripture, because there's all kinds of people in this world that are going through some tough times. As a matter of fact, some people will tell you, the only luck I got's bad luck. And it's just trouble, trouble, trouble. The Bible says in Job 14:2, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Do you know what it means to be full of trouble? It means that's all you have. Trouble, trouble, trouble. By the way, we're going to have some trouble in America.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. And people are going to be looking for answers. And you will be able to see such a great harvest of souls you can't imagine. All you got to do is keep your life right so that when people need God, you're ready. I mean, can you imagine what God's going to do in the next few years around this country, especially if the rapture doesn't take place, and I'm looking for it, by the way. If the Lord doesn't come and we leave this world in a shout, if the Lord does not come soon, this nation is going to be looking for some answers, and we cannot lose hope. It's going to be okay. Now, I want you to think about some things tonight. Number one, if you're a child of God, I want you to know this, that God always works in our lives out of a motive of love. God always works in our lives out of motives of love. The Bible says in John chapter 11, verse number 5, now Jesus loved Martha and his sister and Lazarus. You know, sometimes people just need to hear, God loves you, friend. God loves you. God does love you. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, that God is love. You know, God is love. We had a little girl rode our bus to Sunday school. Her name's Heather. Just a little girl, and beautiful little girl. Just a picture of a Florida girl, blonde-headed, hazel-eyes, just beautiful. She got on the bus and came to Sunday school, and it was obvious when she came to Sunday school that she overslept, because when she got up, she put her little dress on backwards. And she had, her face still had some dirt from the night before, and her hair was a mess, and she forgot to wear her shoes. But she got on the bus, praise God for that. And when she got to Sunday school, I saw her, and she said to me, I know God loves me. And I thought, that's wonderful. I'm glad bus captains teach children that little song, God loves you, God loves me. Aren't you glad people know the little song, Jesus loves me? I've recorded that song in different parts of the world with children. We have 700 children in northern India singing that song in a building, just jam-packed. And they sing verses you've never heard. They sing that song and lift the roof off of it. You ought to hear it. It'll stir your heart. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. A little girl says, I know Jesus loves me. And I said, that's wonderful. Then we went a little further, and somebody came by, and she says, I know Jesus loves me. I had her, because her feet didn't have shoes on, so I was getting her across the parking lot, and she said to someone else, Jesus, I know Jesus loves me. Then I thought, you know, I need to let her sing this song, because she's going to sing it somewhere, so we might as well get in on it. And so I said to her, Heather, why don't you sing that song? She said, I don't know a song. I just know Jesus loves me. Now, I want you to know something. That touched my heart.
Amen.
I'm glad that people can know that Jesus loves them.
Amen.
But the Bible says more than that. Not just that God loves you. The Word of God says God is love.
Amen.
He is love. And everything that God does is out of a motive of love. Did you ever stop and think that nothing can touch you unless a loving father allows it. The Bible says in John chapter 10, verses 27, 28, 29, that's a great portion of scripture. But Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, I like that, don't you? My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Do you know you can't get out of God's hand? If you're a child of God, He's got you in His hand. He's got you. Now, what does that mean? That means nothing can touch you. Nothing can touch you unless God, who is love, allows it to touch your life. Everything that touches your life and everything that touches my life comes through a loving Father, because God is love. And the Bible is very clear to tell us in John chapter 11, now Jesus loved Mary and Martha, and guess what? He loved Lazarus. So the first thing you got to understand is God never does anything out of any other motive except love. Number two, God always works in our life for the good. God always works in our life for the good. The Bible says in John chapter 11, verse 4, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified. Do you know when God does something in our life and God allows something to come in our life, it comes through a motive of love. And secondly, it always works together for good. God's got a good purpose in it. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. That was Dr. Lee Robertson's life verse. I can close my eyes and think, go back many, many years, and I can hear that godly man standing and saying, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. He said, we know. And you know, sometimes we live and die and never know something. But you can know this, that if God allowed it to come into your life, God is going to work out for the good. It's going to be good. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Yeah, Julius Magoo was giving a testimony, and he's the guy from Southern Sudan, and I recorded it. I've got some recordings of things that you just wouldn't believe, but he looks like someone that out of a refugee camp. I mean, he's just pitiful looking, and he's a powerful man of God, and he's standing up in his preacher's meeting, and he's talking about when God saved him. Now, have you ever seen that picture of that little girl crawling to a feeding camp in Sudan, and the little hungry girl with a buzzard? That's where he was. That's where he got saved, on the border of Kenya. And God saved him. Well, after he got saved and got trained, he decided that he was going to go back to Southern Sudan. And his brother said, why not take the gospel to our nation? So he went to the refugee camp, surrendered everything he had, and he walked for 2 weeks. And he came to a town in Southern Sudan, found the biggest tree, dedicated it to God, and started a church. In 10 years, he started four churches and trained, I think he said now, 14 or 15 men trained them. But he was giving a testimony, and he's asking people to come to Southern Sudan. He's asking some of these African pastors. He didn't ask us, by the way, because we're Americans, you know, we're a little different. But he's asking these pastors, and here's what he said. He said, so you get tortured. He said, I've been tortured. Well, what's it last, a day? It's over. I say, time out. Torture for a day? I don't think I want that. He said, what if it lasts a week? What if you die? So what? You're going to heaven. And he said, God will never be able to work in your life unless you go through some trouble. And he says, I'm looking for some men that'll die for God in Southern Sudan. Surprise, surprise, nobody surrendered to go. But he's got some. Do you know when God comes in, works in our life, we don't understand it. We don't get it. But it can't touch you unless God allows it. And if God has allowed it, if God has allowed this to be in your life, trouble, heartache, disappointment, financial, physical, family, if God has allowed it, God is going to work for the good in it. He said, this sickness is not unto death, but it is for the glory of God. Number three, write it down. Everything that happens in your life has an impact on someone else. Everything. The Bible says in John chapter 11, look at verse number 45. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. Amen. Believe it or not, your life touches others. You will determine how much of an impact your life has. You make that decision. God's going to work in your life. The Bible says in Romans chapter 14, verse 7, for none of us live to himself, and no man dieth unto himself. If we made a list of all the things that Jesus did, that's what the Bible says, when they had seen the things. Now watch, look in verse 45, the things which Jesus did. Can you make a list of those things tonight? The things that Jesus did. The things that he's done in your life. The things. My little mother went home to be with the Lord in November of 1999. I had the joy and privilege of leading her to Christ and baptizing her. She got saved when she was 60 years old. Now listen, my brother got saved when he was 14. He was the first Christian in our family. And then other family members got saved. I got saved when I was 26. And then we started working on the rest of the family, and we saw the last of our family come to know Christ as Savior. My mother got saved when she was 60. Isn't that exciting?
Yes.
Listen, God is good. We had a woman 103 years old saved 3 weeks ago in a nursing home. 103. Said, man, she's cutting it close. And you know what she said? She said to the person, we're in seven nursing homes. She said to the person, she said, I've been waiting for somebody to tell me. I've been waiting. But anyway, my dear mother, she got saved. Shortly after she got saved, she got diagnosed with cancer. It was terrible. I mean, I couldn't believe it. She had surgery. The surgery didn't go well. My brother was down. We were at the hospital. And matter of fact, the first surgery, she came home, she recuperated. And the doctor said to us, if she doesn't have to have surgery in a year, she probably can live a little while. 6 months later, she's back in the hospital having surgery. My brother came down for that. And the doctor came in the night before the surgery and he said, now listen, this is not good. This is not good. This is just not good. I don't know what's going to happen. And my brother and I were sitting there thinking, my goodness, my mother just gets saved. She hadn't been saved very long and she's going to go through this. And so he left the room. He was a wonderful guy and a nice, kind, very kind man. He was trying to encourage us. We shut the door, and I knelt down on one side of my dear mother's bed. She's so little. She's 4'11", 92 pounds. That's all she ever weighed. When she died, she weighed 62 pounds, and she was driving a week before she died. But anyway, we knelt down beside the bed. I took one hand, my brother took one hand, and we asked God to touch her life. And they said, now, Lord, my mother, our mother, she was a good mother, single mother, raised us, raised me, my brother, two sisters. She's never had the joy and privilege of serving God, never had the joy and privilege of seeing you work. And, Lord, would you just extend her life to where she could see you do something in her life? Now, I'll be honest with you, to God be the glory. She lived 8 years after that. 8 years. She had cancer every day, but she lived 8 years. She was the most optimistic human being I've ever known in my life. Never said one negative thing that I can recall. Just lived on the sunny side of life. She had an unusual way about looking at life. She called me one day and said, she said, Tommy, I had the only negative thing I ever heard her say, come close to, she called me, she said, Tommy, I had two women in the mobile home park talk to me, and they told me their husband had the same cancer I have. I said, really? Then they said, they died. And she said, well, I didn't need to hear that. And they said, well, Ruby, that was my mother's name, Ruby, the cancer you have, when you die, it's painless. You won't feel any pain. Now, she never took a pain pill in her life. She said, they said, it's painless. She said, Tommy, I just wanted to call you tonight and tell you I know I'm living because I've never been in so much pain in my life. That's just the way she looked at life. When she went home to be with the Lord, she was at my sister's home. My mother's a member of a church, brought people to church, won people to Christ, won her best friend to the Lord. I baptized her. But my mother was at my sister's home when she went home to be the Lord. And my brother was there, my two sisters, our children were there, my sister's children, the room full of Christians. Every member of our family had been saved. Aunts, uncles, all of them. Saved because of my mother's sickness. God used that. Her dear friend said to her, Ruby, I'd give anything to have a family like your family. My mother said, well, just get cancer and start dying. People love dying people. Nobody loved me like this till I started dying. Now everybody loves me. She was the craziest thing you've ever seen in your life. Your life touches somebody's life. No man liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. Your life has an impact. And what God is doing in your life, what God is doing, speaks to people. We learn in this portion of Scripture that nothing can touch you unless a loving Father allows it. Nothing happens in your life without a purpose and a plan. The sickness is not unto death, but it's for the glory of God. Nothing happens in your life that doesn't make you a better Christian if you give it to Him. For we know that all things work together for good. And nothing happens in your life that doesn't have an impact on somebody else's life. They're watching you. And I want you to write down the fourth thing. God wants to use us to believe and to trust Him. See, Jesus said in verse number 40, He spoke to Martha, and He said in verse number 40, Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee, that thou wouldst believe, thou shalt see the glory of God? Do you know, God used this sickness, this death. First of all, He used it in Mary's life. And He used it in Martha's life. When Jesus delayed His coming, something happened to those two sisters. Now, I believe that Martha was holding out hope, but Mary, she'd lost it. And the Bible says when Jesus came to Bethany that He did not come into Bethany, but He stayed outside of Bethany. And when Martha heard that Jesus came, she ran to Jesus. And she said what we would say, if you'd been here, my brother would have not died. Now remember, Jesus said to the disciples, I'm glad I wasn't there. Boy, what would Martha have done if she'd heard that? But where's Mary? Mary's at home. She's not over this thing. Do you know what I've discovered in the work of the Lord? Sometimes God's people have to get over the way God worked in their life. And if you allow me to say this, they have to forgive God for the way He worked. We don't like the way God does things. We want God to do things entirely different. Mary is at home. She's not going out. Jesus is here. Martha heard Jesus. Martha runs to Him. Mary is not going. When Martha looks at Jesus, she says, "Lord." And Jesus looked at her and said, "Do you believe? Do you believe?" He says in verse 23, "Thy brother shall rise again." And Martha said in verse 24, Martha said to Him, "I know that He shall rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in Me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in Me shall never die. Believest thou this?" And she said unto Him, "Yea, Lord, I believe. I believe." God is trying to get us to a place where we'll have more faith and believe God for more.
Yes.
"Yea, Lord, I believe. I believe." God bless you, Martha. Now she goes to Mary. She makes a statement to Mary that's worth noticing. She said, "The Master is come. He calleth for thee." Do you know why all this is going on? God's trying to work in Mary's life. Mary, it's about you. Something's got to be fixed in Mary's life in order for God to do a work in the lives of others. Martha says, "Yes, Lord, I believe." Then Mary runs to Jesus as soon as she heard that in verse 29. The Bible says, verse 28, "And when she had said so, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, 'The Master is come, and He calleth for thee.'" Mary, God's got something, and it's about you. "I don't understand everything going on. I don't understand why Lazarus is dead, but I know this. The Master wants to speak to you. He calleth for thee." Oh, thank God Jesus calls for us. Do you know if God didn't bring things into our lives, do you know we would just live life careless? We would go our direction. We would do everything that came into our heart. But God loves us too much to allow us to throw our life away. And God brings things into our life we cannot handle, we cannot deal with, beyond our ability. And God brings us to our knees and says, "The Master is come, and He calleth for thee. Get up and come to Jesus. You can't carry this burden. Only God can fix this problem." By the way, will our nation ever hear, "The Master is cometh, and He calleth for thee"? Jesus is speaking. Mary runs to Jesus. Says basically the same thing. "You could have stopped this. You could have prevented this." Have you ever heard somebody say, "If God is so loving, how come all of this is happening?" You don't understand God. You don't understand how the Lord works. God is trying to work in our lives to get us to believe Him, and God is trying to work in other people's lives that they can see God working in our life. And He says, "The Master has come." Jesus said to Martha, "Believest thou this?" Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Look at verse 26. Last word, "this." Hey, it's one thing to believe that. It's another to believe this. This that's going on in my life. This. this heartache, this trouble, this problem. You know, nothing's real until it's personal. You can hear somebody say, my mother got cancer. Oh, God bless you. Pray for it. But when you have your mother get cancer, it's a different story. It becomes this. This. It's one thing for somebody to say, pray for me. The doctor said that I've got this. And you say, oh, God bless you. God will help you with it. But when you hear it, it becomes this. Jesus said to Martha, do you believe this? Do you believe it? Do you believe that I am the resurrection and the life? Do you believe that whoever believeth in me shall never die? Do you believe I am life? She says, yeah. I believe. I believe. She took off. Man, she was lit up. She got Mary. Mary comes and gets some things settled. Now the Lord Jesus says, let's go.
Yes.
They said, Lord, he says in verse number 38, Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave, and it was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Verse 39, and Jesus said, take ye away the stone. And Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. And Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shalt see the glory of God? Didn't I tell you? The key, the secret for you to believe. Take away the stone. Jesus could have taken the stone away. He could have spoke it away. He could have had an angel move it away. But he didn't put it there, and he's not taking it away. There's things in our lives that are blocking the power of God. There's things in our lives that are stopping God from doing great and mighty things. And God says to us, you roll them away and you're going to see the glory of God. You take it away. You put it there. Remove it. And God will prove something. And they said, okay. Now remember, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. There's probably not a Christian in this building tonight who would not say, I want my life to bring glory to God. Probably not a Christian. But in order for that to happen, there's some things you got to face. God's going to bring something in your life so big. Before you go to heaven, if you really want to see God do something, something's going to come into your life so big you cannot fix it. When I went to Bible college, I got saved when I was 26. I was a bricklayer. By the way, Monday morning, I was still a bricklayer. I thought God saved me from that. But I thank God he called me to preach. I mean, I've been shouting ever since. When I see a block truck, a brick truck go down the road, I say, hallelujah, glory to God. He called me to preach. And I, you know what I did? I became much better at it after I got saved. Isn't it amazing how when you get a sober mind, you can do much better? Then I went to Bible college. And I worked my way through Bible college. My children were in school. I worked day and night. I mean, Saturday we went soul winning on the bus route. I had a bus route Sunday all day at church. But Monday night with lights out, lanterns. Didn't miss church, kept going. And when I graduated from Bible college, I had figured out how to make serious money at what I was doing. I never made that kind of money when I was lost. I had to do little work, and I made a lot of money. Matter of fact, four guys, me and three other men, formed a little group. We're building a group, and we built buildings, schools, churches, and homes for missionaries and things. And we tapped into something. And when I was getting ready to graduate, you know, I had this thing figured out. I could do this 3 or 4 days, and I, you know, any problem came in my life, I could just go build a job, build a building. Any problem, I told my wife, don't worry about it. I'll get another job. I'll do something. It'll work out. God said, He stopped that. And I remember the day that I told my wife, I can't work and fix this. I can't do this. I had a serious injury. I was in New York. I was helping someone with a church building and injured myself. I was in traction. And when I got out of that hospital, it took me days to get back home. I couldn't move. And I said to Nancy, I'm done. It's going to be faith from here on, baby. I never thought I was going to have to live by faith. You know what Dr. Robertson said to me? He said, well, you're going to have to learn to live by faith sometimes. Might as well start now. Thank you. I'll tell you something. I would not be here tonight had God not severed that thing. I wouldn't be here tonight. I had to get out on a limb and learn something about God. God says to Mary and Martha, you're going to learn something. You're going to see God. But you're going to have to move that stone. Move it. And then the Bible says, look what the Word of God says. The Bible says in verse 49, Jesus said, say I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shalt see the glory of God. And then the Lord Jesus prays. He thanks God. And he says in verse number 43, I love it. And when he thus has spoken, he cried with a loud voice. I remember Dr. Bruce Lackey said, every time you hear, you read, he cried with a loud voice. Don't you let people teach you Jesus was soft-spoken. With a loud voice. I want everybody to hear this. Listen, Lazarus, come forth. Boy, when you do that, you're out on a limb. I mean, they heard him two cities over. Did he just say, Lazarus, dead 4 days? And guess what happened? The Bible says, and he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave cloths, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. Next time you find Lazarus, he's sitting at a table with Jesus in Simon the leper's house, fellowshipping with God. That's not the end of the story. Oh, no. Because Jesus said, this sickness is not unto death, but it's for the glory of God. Let me tell you what brings glory to God. People getting saved. Yes. That's what brings glory to God. Our life brings honor to the Lord. Our life's pleasing to the Lord. But when people get saved, there's rejoicing in the presence of God's angels. I used to think that was the angels rejoicing. That's not what the Bible says. Rejoicing in the presence. The angels are beholding the face of God, and God says, yeah. Hallelujah. Look what happened. The Bible says, then, verse 45, if you miss this, you miss the whole message. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen who? Came to who? Mary. See, Mary was the key to reaching these Jews. When many of the Jews came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. They got saved. Jesus went to Bethany all the time. I'm sure Mary and Martha and Lazarus told everybody, What a friend we have in Jesus. What a Savior. He's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords.
That's right.
He's the mighty God.
Amen.
And the Jews are saying, oh, I don't know about that. I don't know if he's who you say he is. We see him. Doesn't seem to be so special to us. And then Lazarus gets sick. Wow. And so they say, no worry. We know Jesus. We're going to send for him. You're going to see something. They go off. They come back. And Mary and Martha says, where's Jesus? Not coming. By the way, he said it's going to be okay.
Right.
What? Where is it? He stayed. 2 days. Well, he knows better than I know. All of a sudden, Lazarus is dead. Don't get any worse than this. They take him to the grave, bury him, roll a stone. Now the house is full of unbelieving Jews. Jesus comes back outside the city. Martha hears, she runs, she says, Lord, what's going on? Jesus says, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever liveth and believeth in me shall not. Do you believe that? Oh, I believe this. Okay. Go get Mary. Mary, the master's come, calleth for thee. God's got to speak to you. She had to get over some stuff. She learned something. God never brings anything into your life that doesn't come through a loving Father's hand. God never allows anything into your life that doesn't make you a better person. God never allows anything into your life that does not have an effect on somebody. And God will one day give you understanding. Do you know what we want? We don't want God to ask us, believest thou this? We want God to say, do you understand? Oh, I don't understand. Okay, let me tell you again. I don't understand. God never promises in his word to give us understanding in trouble. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. There's a little word at the beginning of that verse that you sometimes miss. In everything. We say after everything. You can have a testimony meeting. People say, I got a testimony. I just want to thank God. 30 years ago, he allowed this happen. I didn't understand it, but now I do. Thank God. That doesn't work. It's in it. It's in it. So how do you do that? How do you end something? Thank God for it. How do you, in the middle of the worst thing that ever happened in your life, how do you thank God in it? Because you're in God's hand. Nothing can touch you unless God allows it. Nothing's going to touch you unless it makes you a better person. Nothing's come into your life that's not going to speak to other people. And God will one day let you have a measure of understanding. Now, when those Jews got saved, Mary and Martha could say, I understand this now. The disciples could have said, I'm glad you weren't here. We would have never seen this happen if you were here. God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. But God's way are always perfect. And when he works something, it's always for the good. Can you thank God for it? Can you give God the glory? Life's not all about us. Our life's settled. We're going to heaven. If all we had to do is worry about going to heaven, we're there. We go now. It's not about us. It's about others believing on him. We must play our part if God's going to work his part in their life. And listen, when you're ready for the next chapter, God's ready to begin it. He doesn't start it till you're ready. Are you ready for it? Are you ready to say, Lord, next? Let's go to the next chapter. Let's go to the next chapter. See, so many people get stuck somewhere. I had a woman many years ago came up to me. I was preaching on forgiving and moving forward, and she came up to me and she said, Pastor, I can't forgive him. She said, I was driving by the cemetery where my husband is buried. And I got out of the car and I walked over to the grave. I got on his grave and I stomped on it till I couldn't stomp anymore. I said, what? She said, I stomped, and she demonstrated. I said, you stomped on your husband's grave? Yeah. I said, what did your husband do to you? She said, he died. I said, what? He died on me. Wow. Wow. You think that woman will ever see God do anything? No. She's Christian now. I mean, she gave a clear testimony. She knows God. She's never going to have the next chapter. I want the next chapter. Yes. And the next chapter, and the next chapter. And when the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled, I'm ready for the next chapter. Amen. I'm ready. We've got another chapter in America. We do. I could not be more disappointed than I am. As a matter of fact, it's hard propping up so many defeated Christians who have lost faith. Do you know, our faith is not in, our faith is in God. God's still on the throne, and God has never lost any election. He elected me. And I said, yes. Hey, the next chapter is ready. Are you ready for it? Are you ready for it? The next chapter in your life. So I got some problems. My children are breaking my heart. Well, God's not, if there's breath in their lungs, there's hope for the good ending. God's not through. We had a man, 76 years old, Smiling Joe, got saved. 76. Well, he wrote a suicide note, put it on his table, lived in a mobile home park, walked out and was going to walk in the street of Highway 41 and step in front of a semi-truck and end his life. Wrote a note, told him how he wanted to be buried, walked out, and he was walking out, and there was a yard sale in his mobile home park. And one of our members, a couple, was there, and they were looking at things, and they saw him, and they gave him a gospel tract, God Loves You. He took the tract, turned around, went back in his house, sat down, read the tract. Got saved. Amen. Tore a suicide note up and thought, well, I'll see what's next. They followed up. 2 weeks later, he came to church. He made a profession of faith. I said, Joe, next steps, get baptized. I ain't getting no water. I'm scared of water. I said, well, I'd rather die getting baptized as let the devil beat me to death with fear. He said, not me. 2 weeks later, he stood in the baptistry shaking. I've never seen a man shake so much. I felt sorry for him. I wanted to sprinkle him. I honestly did. But I said, you know, word to get out, Dr. Carter won't let me know. I baptized him. He came up out of water, he hugged me. While he was getting ready, I was talking to him. He said, you know, I'm a singer. I said, I am too. No. He said, I'm for real, I'm a singer. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, I've sung country western music all my life. I said, well, Joe, we may sound country, but we can't sing it. I said, won't you learn some Christian songs? He said, okay. So the first Christian song he learned was, what Jesus has done, what he's done for others, he'll do for you. There, you know that song. I can't think of it. There's no secret what God can do. He learned that and he sang it. He learned 12 songs, made a CD. I record it, so you can imagine what it sounds like. And you know that guy goes around, he's 80-something years old now, goes around singing in our nursing homes. He's doing the next chapter in his life. Your chapter, your book's not over. Yours is not over. It's not over. Don't stop on this page. Let God do his work. You'll see. You'll see those people that have looked on the outside come around you and see God. God will prove he's God in your life. You just got to say, Lord, I believe this. Roll away the stone and let's see the glory of God. Let's bow our heads in just a moment. We're going to pray with our heads bowed and eyes closed tonight.